is a homeowners association. I know there's some opposition here that they can maybe speak to that. I don't believe it is, but I did find that they do have restrictive covenants, and I've mentioned that before, so now I'll submit that if I could, where it had, when this was established, the restrictive covenants called for a 10-foot rear setback. So, as I said, on tab 7, you can see the nature of the neighborhood. It's kind of a mishmash with various different kinds of houses, various porches. On this particular lagoon between Garfield and Hayes, it perhaps has the most variances, where there's some, you know, close to 7 feet, 5 feet. The last tab has some photographs that aren't great quality, but it shows the Cassie's house under construction. You see the porch or the deck being built, then you see the balcony above it being built under construction. What's significant about that is one of the opposition letters you received, and I'm not sure if he's here or not. If he is, I'm sure he'll speak, is from Daniel Nedwick. And if you look at the overhead, he's right to the right of them. To the left was a vacant lot. You can see Mr. Nedwick's barn or shed, I guess it is pretty much on the zero lot line on the lagoon. And he's been there for I don't know how many years. I'm not sure if he had a variance. The records doesn't indicate he had a variance. Sometime, and maybe some people that are here, maybe Mr. Nedwick himself can testify about, that was moved recently in light of his complaints against the Cassies, which is sort of an interesting dynamic. Okay, you know, I'll take something away that I've had just so to punish you in some respects. It doesn't seem somewhat fair, but there's evidence that it was there. He moved it. One could argue now he's in compliance. Everybody should be. So it cuts both ways, but there it was. I don't know if he's going to testify as well, but, you know, the board should be aware that these issues, you know, have real-life concerns. He was kind of, and the Cassies can testify as to this, harassing them about this. At one point, he was even in the house. They complained to the state police. One night, the neighbor came over 11 o'clock at night, knocking on Miss Cassie's door. This was on April 20th. After they had the CO, threatened her. He was subsequently arrested. If he is going to testify tonight, you know, maybe counsel can, you know, counsel him on to testifying under oath. This is what they're going through. Yet, maybe another reason I took the case, whether that's relevant or not, I have nothing to do with that criminal investigation. But it seems to me that this was sloppy. I think you asked one of the witnesses, did you learn anything? I think the Cassies learned something. It's a little late for that now. But, you know, they would have done things entirely differently knowing what they know now. I have a letter here from Lyons Plumbing, from Lori, and if I may read it to you, it says, "This to whom this may concern, my name is Stephen Lyons. I own house 39163 Garfield Avenue, Selbyville. My house is directly across the canal from this property and concern. I don't see or have any problem with this house. Actually, this house helps raise the value of the neighborhood, which I'm happy about. If there's any question, please feel free to contact me." That just came to me today. I was
Is this picture from their porch or from their deck?
Yeah, that's I believe, that's the deck.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what the code says is enclosed. And quite frankly, your definition 183 is pretty broad, saying if there's anything that extends to the second floor, it's enclosed. So, you know, we're not necessarily disputing that interpretation. I can say that ordinance 2557 is somewhat ambiguous because it says if it applies, no structure, even the rear, shall be closer than 5 feet. I've had some conversation with Mr. Sharp about that ambiguity, but we're not necessarily going there tonight. We've argued that this is unique because it's nonconforming. I understand that uniqueness should apply to every lot, but when you have a community that has a bunch of lots that are non-conforming, they're all unique, and you've recognized that. It's not like you have a river running through one. They're all just small. You never approve a 5,000-square-foot AR lot now. You've found uniqueness in the past. I think the fact that it's on a lagoon is also makes it somewhat unique for this community. I think the Maryland line is right on the other side.
Aren't they all on the water in this community?
Yeah. Not up front.
Some aren't. That's what makes them all unique. I understand the argument about strict conformity. I think this is an unusual fact pattern. Yeah, in hindsight, maybe they could design it differently. I think in every case, you know, it's, you know, I don't know what the problem is. I know money's the solution. It probably could be developed in a way that would make it correct. But I think a reasonableness approach should be applied to this in this case. Was it self-created? We all know how this works. You know, if you own it, you created it. But it's interesting with the board in this law that, and I've been before the Supreme Court on it, where by virtue of asking for the variance, you created it, right? You're creating something that needs relief. And that's not the self-creation purpose. The self-creation is to the uniqueness of the property. I didn't create the 5,000 square feet on this, and that's true in this case. Somewhat of the opposition, and I know some people are here to speak and you have letters. I just, in my investigation of this, the case, I take some offense at the assertion that they took advantage of your, the Cassies, that is, and tried to pull one, and they knew about this all the time. I know that's imposed on them, but you can hear from them and ask them questions. I don't think they did. And I think the 5-foot balcony is actually a minimal. You could find it's a minimal approach based on what's going on around there. So I think those are the elements. If I can call Mr. Cassie for one moment.
Yes, one of the members has some questions.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Mears.
I have two quick questions. Yes, to the microphone, please. Yes, sir, you applied for a variance and were denied, and after that, correct me if I'm wrong, after that point you retained professionals to change the house design to conform with the lot as per code, correct?
Yes, sir.
After that, you hired professionals to guide this job from start to finish as per code, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
You've heard my representations to the board. Do they seem true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, sir.
If I could have one moment.
And one more question, Mr. Cassie.
Yes, sir.
And since you relied on others to represent you, then do you feel that you created the need for the variance?
No, sir.
Thank you.
I've come here in good faith.
Sure.
To Delaware to build a house for retirement, both for myself, my wife, and my family to come down. And I relied on everybody that I wanted to, which was the surveyor, the architect, as well as the builder.
Sure.
Here. And if things happen here, this is going to cause me very much harm financially as well.
Sure. Understood.
And, you know, we're from New Jersey. We've been to Ocean City and Delaware for right now 44 years. I've been coming down here for as a small child as well. And, you know, we did have a townhouse in Ocean City for a little while. And, you know, my neighbor, I came and introduced myself when I did buy the property. I introduced myself. I told him who I was. He said the prior owners would let me, you know, park his commercial vehicles on the property. I said, listen, I have no problem with that. I want to be a good neighbor. And we're not going to build for probably a year and a half. I let him build leave his trucks there. When a year and a half came, me and my wife started looking at an architect and we started designing a house. And I told him, we're going to start building soon. So you're going to have to move your trucks. Well, from that day forward, all harassment broke out. It was like...
That's okay.
I think just, and this also goes to anybody else who's going to be speaking. I think the interpersonal issues that may be existing are not germane to what the issue is before the board. So
I don't know if I speak for the rest of the board, but they're not pertinent to me.
No.
Okay.
No, sir, that doesn't.
Okay.
It's unfortunate, but that's, no other question?
Thank you very much for hearing from me.
No further questions? Okay, hearing no further questions? Excuse me, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? One, two. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application?
Four.
Okay, all those that are in opposition to this application, please come forward at this time to be sworn in.
The wish to speak?
Okay.
I said the wish to speak.
Again, one more call. All those that are in opposition to this application, please come forward to be sworn in.
They want to speak.
They want to speak, yeah, well, he is.
They might not want to speak.
Try that.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Better than that, we did that the last time, I got in trouble.
Sir?
Charles Mead, 1303 6th Hayes.
Thank you.
Charles Pyle, 13040 Hayes Avenue, Southfield.
Thank you.
Teresa Pyle, 13040 Hayes Avenue, Southfield.
And do the four of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And we'll take you one at a time at the podium. When you go up, just state your name and address, or your name for the record. We don't need your address. And if you have any exhibits, you can submit them down to Mrs. Walls there at the end. And if you just say, I agree with so-and-so, that's fine too, but certainly we'll give you all a chance to speak.
Thank you.
Whoever wishes to go first.
Good evening. My name is Teresa Pyle. My husband and I reside at 13040 Hayes Avenue, which is lot 12, Sedleyville, Delaware. Our property is five lots down from the property in question, which is lot 7. We are here tonight again to request a denial of the requested variances for the following reasons. These lots are 50 by 100. They are a small lot. The property owner was well aware of the lot size and the setbacks at the time of purchase. In spite of this awareness, an oversized structure has been constructed on this property, including the second story deck, in blatant disregard from the denial from this county. As we know, the setbacks serve a purpose. This property owner came before this commission on October 3rd, 2016, requesting variances to the setbacks. The majority of the notified residents spoke in opposition to this request. This commission denied all five. And yet, the property owner went ahead and built the house, totally disregarding. The reduction of setbacks result in less privacy, diminished views, increased parking, and will also increase danger of potential fire spreading to adjacent homes. We sincerely hope that this commission stands by their ruling and makes this property owner comply with the codes of Sussex County. Thank you.
Ma'am, just to verify, you did say that we denied the balcony the first time? I think we only denied a front yard variance, not the back.
The commission denied all five variances that were requested.
Was there?
The variances that were requested, Mr. Mills, were 7 feet from the 30 feet front yard for a proposed dwelling, a variance of 4 feet from the 10 feet side for a proposed outside shower, and 5 feet from the 20 feet rear for a proposed deck and porch. I believe the porch was below and the deck was above.
Okay.
The new one has just deck below.
Deck, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
My name is Charles Pyle. I'm at 13040 Hayes Avenue, Sedleyville, Delaware, 19975. My family and I have owned this property since 1965. We have built various additions on this house, and we have complied to all codes. I don't understand why builders, contractors, etc., want to come in and put these large houses on such small lots. You know, if you're going to put a large house, go somewhere else. Go inland. You know, this house and this development means a lot to me. Because my mother and father bought it back then. And, you know, I'd like to try to keep the development uniform in a way that, you know, everybody could be happy in the development. Thank you.
Next.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
My name is Charles Mead. I live at 13036 Hayes. We built there in 1985, and we were smart. We got an architect and a builder that knew how to read the codes. And it just, we haven't met the people that have this house, but they made a horrible mistake. If you can't get a builder and an architect that knows how to follow codes, you know, maybe it's your own fault. But what they're asking for is basically the same thing that was turned down previously. And it's not that you can't build a beautiful house on those lots. I stopped here on the way here, picked up a house that's for sale on a 50 by 100 right in our neighborhood, right around the corner, $874,900. Brand new house that's for sale. So it's not that it can't be done, but it's done according to code. So our problem is, and we're a neighborhood where everybody gets together, has a good time, we know everybody. We haven't met the Cassies yet, but you know, hopefully soon we will meet them, and that they will have a nice, they have a beautiful house, but it doesn't fit. You know, they should have gone up to Cape Windsor or one of the places that had different zoning. But unfortunately for them, they picked our place. So just get them up to code and we'll all be in good shape. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I'm Roseberry Mead. I'm only going to add one small thing. What nobody has mentioned is that when it was denied, the first application, we were told, we noticed almost immediately that they started to build. And we called a man by the name of, in your department, Jeff Wiley. And Jeff Wiley told us to call him at any time when we saw something, which we did. And I think between all of us, he's gotten at least 50 phone calls. But he told us that he could not stop the building.
Right.
But he could stop them getting an occupancy. That was the only thing that he could do. And he said that as soon, if any of us saw him, then move into the house to contact him, and that he would take it from there. But I just want you to know that we didn't just sit there and let it happen.
Right.
We notified this person, Jeff Wiley.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. Hearing no other opposition then, Chair will entertain a motion.
I have got a question. So, or Mr. Willard, please.
Mr. Willard, you're up.
So this map, Hayes Avenue, this does not have any variances?
Well,
because it's not color-coded.
If you look at, that's correct. And the one that I submitted, I'm relying on a little more because I prepared that.
That was
added.
The surveyor.
That was prepared by, I think, the surveyor. If you look at the
but
one.
Even his is, there's no variances.
Well, if you look at the tax map at Hayes, there are none on there. You see, and this is, I'm referring to mine. They're the same. But you see, the purple is the Cassie's request, and you see a V on each one of those?
Yeah, the variances.
So there is two on that street?
That's what it indicates.
And there's another one marked V.
Yeah, and I don't know what that marked V.
It looks like Kristen's pulling those up now.
Okay.
Let's see here.
I think one of them is not a rear. I think the one on the left, they applied for a variance and then realized they didn't need one. I think that's what I confirmed. That's right? Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so what's the one to the right of this lot?
I think that was just a side.
The one on the red?
There's two on that street besides the Cassies. One didn't need one, and what was the other one?
The one on the right, I think, was just a side variance. Which is why I didn't highlight them, because I was interested in the rear.
Okay.
Your staff, by the way, was very helpful in helping me locate some of these things.
Okay.
So if your point is there are no rear setbacks on Hayes, you would be correct.
Okay. Thank you.
That's
what you wanted me to say, right?
Just clarify that this map only shows the variances for the past 5 years, I believe, back to, 2011, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not infinite.
Okay.
Yeah, when the hearings went faster, there was more variances.
One question, perhaps for Mr. Cassie, I think.
Yeah, yes? I'd like to hear from their perspective.
Pardon?
I would like to hear from them. Perspective of what this whole, how this all happened. And
well, you've got, all right, I'll call Mr. Cassie first, and perhaps you could ask him a question.
So you, let me get this straight in my head. You approached this builder, asked that he build this house. He got the surveyor and he got an architect. Is that true?
Yes.
Did he get that? Or did you contact the architect and then get a builder?
He recommended the architect.
Okay.
And we worked with the architect, and the architect worked with the builder, and the builder got the surveyor.
Okay. And then you designed a house. It wasn't going to fit on the lot. What did the builder tell you? Or did he tell you that, well, you'll just get a variance?
Well, when we first went for a variance. And then after that, I worked with the architect as well as the builder, and we shrunk the house.
Okay.
From there, again, I stated before that we relied on them, both of them, the architect, the surveyor, as well as the builder. And they said everything was fine. And we're going to start building.
Okay.
They told me that. I said, we have any problems with this? They said, no. That, you know, wherever they put the house was, it was agreed to.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
When was everything finished as far as construction? When did that happen?
Just recently,
I would say April.
Okay. And the reason I ask is because in the record I saw there was a violation notice sent in the fall.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. We did receive the letter, and if you see the deck the way it is, we stopped construction at that time.
Okay. So there's been no additions made to the deck from when that happened?
No.
Okay.
The deck's not finished?
Yes, it is. It's finished. Everything is finished there on that. It was completed because I told the builder to stop building at that time and straighten everything out. And that's when they went to the board, or the county. They came to the county, and he said, we got the 10-foot setback, and everything is good.
Okay. So you started back building again?
He started back building, that's correct, because they told me everything was good.
Okay. You know what may be helpful, if I may, is in the last tab, it actually has dates on the bottom, which I think indicates that in August of 2017, the deck and the porch were kind of framed. They get a violation after that, And I think what Mr. Cassie's saying is when they got the violation, they talked to the builder, builder again contacted, and that's when there was another conversation about, well, it's just a deck, nothing's covered, and so he put the rail on it and finished the look of it.
Well, wasn't there somewhere that there was going to be a violation and something about JP Court, and I wasn't somewhere in this pile of papers?
Well, that's what a violation is, yeah.
So what happened with that violation?
What?
So you got the violation.
We received the violation in the mail.
But you allowed the builder to work it out?
We
did?
I did call.
Okay.
She called, we spoke to the builder about it, and he said he went to the county, and everything was okay.
And if I may, I know we got a chorus here going, but then after I got involved, I tried to do exactly what you're doing, what happened. And then Anthony, when he found out, you know, the violation wasn't going anyway, that balcony was a roof and it was enclosure, that's when he filed for the variance.
This variance.
Yeah, and that usually stays it unless there's some emergency or something. So.
And you have a temporary certificate of occupancy. It was issued on April 20th of this year, and it expires September 18th of this year.
That's correct.
I have a copy of that, or you're looking at it, I guess.
Yeah.
In this pile of papers that I have.
One other question. You got a letter, a lady across the from your house in favor of it. You sent one in.
That's the one I just submitted. It was emailed.
You submitted that. And I'm looking at the pictures now. All the houses across from you are built like yours.
Yes, that's correct. And some are even have, like Mr. Willer did say, that there's three-story decks. There's enclosures on a second floor as well.
So yours is the first one going to be built like across the river?
Yes.
Yeah, but all across that same thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're closer than I am, even to the water.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, no other questions.
Okay.
And they all, if I may, have the benefit of the new law, which is 15 feet, so.
But they didn't build the house knowing that there was going to be a new law, right?
Who, the neighbors?
No, the...
No, I understand.
Yeah. Okay, hearing no other questions, Chair will entertain a motion.
Just remind the board there are a two-step process on this one as far as your consideration, if you wanted to consider it this evening or at a later date.
I'll make the first motion, that I do believe that there's a substantial difference in the variance request. And so I move that we approve hear the case.
I second that motion. Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Mears that we approve to hear the case. There is a substantial difference. So all those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye, there is a difference.
Thank you. Mr. Mears?
Aye.
Ms. McGee?
Aye.
Mr. Mears?
Aye.
And I'm Mr. Calloway. So by a vote of 5-0, the case to rehear the case of its difference has been approved now. Next.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve case 12,159. The applicant firstly filed for a variance which was denied. They hired professionals to redesign, surveyors to locate it on the property correctly, and a builder to make this project fit on the property within the code. They did not create this situation on their own. The professionals they hired did. And based on other houses in there, it will not alter the character of the development. And I feel it's a minimal variance request based on this situation.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay.
You're going to allow the ceiling on the deck?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mears and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve case number 12,159. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Mears? Mr. Mills?
Oh, I thought you said Mears.
No.
He did.
I thought he did.
I did. No, I said Mr.
I don't have gray hair. I have no hair.
Thank you for that compliment.
I, for the reasons stated and additionally for some perhaps miscommunications within the county as well, I vote yay.
Yay. Ms. McGee. Yeah.
I'm really torn by this because the only person we have to hold responsible is the landowner. We can't do anything to that surveyor or to the builder when they do something wrong.
I think it's already done. I think they've...
And I think that's sad. I feel bad for the Cassies, and I think they truly have relied on professionals, or so they thought professionals, to put their house on this lot within the setbacks. So I'm going to vote yes, but I think there's going to be some changes made within the county when a builder clearly violates the ordinances.
Okay. Well taken. Mr. Mears.
Yes, for my reasons.
Mr. Workman.
All right, there's reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 12,159 is approved. Next case, please.